Let us pray for God's precious gift to us, His Word. Father, what an honor you give to us to be reading your anointed, life-given, powerful Word that has the power to transform us, to guide us, to sanctify us. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for a special anointing on this Word. And we pray for your Spirit to give us the grace to apply it. We pray for ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you're giving to us. And we pray that we will be obedient, knowing, Father, that you bless those who obey. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Reading today is from the tiny little book of Haggai on page 1469 in the Pew Bible, going to chapter 2, beginning verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, not that hard, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pat. Today's passage comes from this little Old Testament book, which has only two chapters. I want you to go home and read them. They're just very short. This book was written after the people of God had returned from exile. They had just been freed by God. And they got so excited to have been freed from oppression that they got busy building their own homes. But they forgot about the needs of God's temple. They kept putting off their giving because they were focused on their needs. And this is the way they would rationalize their actions. Verse 2 of chapter 1. They would say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Like putting it off. That'll come. It'll come in the future. Not yet. And this is what God says back to them. It's in verses 3 through 9 of chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. What a strong passage. I didn't want to preach from this passage because I wanted to put a little sugar to the message God had laid on my heart. So I chose to preach from chapter two instead of chapter one. What God is doing in this passage is he's really saying, I got to have you free. You are free now. And this is the way you thank me. You're forgetting about me, and you're taking care of only your needs. And as an excuse, you're saying, oh, we'll take care of God's needs later. This is not an indictment of God against them for taking care of their homes. We ought to do that. This is an indictment of focusing only on their own well-being. Charles Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers, puts it in this way about the same passage. They had forgotten their God, choosing instead to focus on their own interests. So God calls them to consider their ways. That's what he says twice in those passages I read to you. You see, Haggai himself, the prophet, knew that nothing was more important for the Jews than to show that the Lord was at the center of their thoughts and actions. So Haggai directed them to finish rebuilding the temple of God. He was like, no, leave that. We need to take care of what God told us to take care of, God's temple. As you know, I'm preaching not on my favorite subject. This is the second week God called me to preach on the issue of giving. And I have preached many times how important it is to give in many other ways, your talents, your time, your service. I've preached about that many times. But I've been reluctant to preach about giving money, because it always feels like a chore, and it always feels like, what if people are going to be offended? Who is going to take it personal? What are they going to say? You know, am I not supposed to eat so that I tithe to the Lord? But listen, don't shoot the messenger. You have it out with God, because I'm just doing what he told me to do. Let me just tell you this. Giving money in any other way of giving is always about gratitude and thanksgiving. We give because we want to thank God for what he's done, for what he's given us. And here's the interesting thing. We give back to God what he's giving to us. So it's not like everything belongs to us. Nothing of what we have belongs to us. Everything has been given to us by God. So we give back to God from what he has given to us. Last week, I challenged you to give sacrificially, especially at a time like this. We're not panicking anymore, because we do, as I shared with you in the past 2 weeks, we do see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we have to hang in there, and we have to continue to give sacrificially. And so I challenge you to do that last week. And I know this. I know that many in this church do that on a regular basis. But I still had to obey the call of God. And God wants us to know that there is so much connected with our obedience to give. There are blessings connected to our giving. And that's why I felt God wanted me to preach so more on this subject. Because we, at times, have been bombarded by preachers online who are taking advantage of the givers, and they say, if you give this much, you know, God will give you a brand new car, ridiculous things like that, or God will give you this and that. So they have ruined it for us. But this is biblical, that there are blessings attached to our giving, financial blessings and many other blessings. So God wants us to know, God wants you to know, God wants me to know that there's so much connected, so many blessings with our obedience to give. Giving of our money honors God. Giving helps us to detach from the security money brings. Let me tell you, I always count on my savings because I believe that administrating our money well has to include savings, no matter how little, how much. And when I don't have those savings, I panic. And I realize, oh, there is some trust that I have in the savings themselves and not in God. And there are times when God has called me to give them away. And then I really have to trust God because I don't have the security of having that little backup. So there are blessings that will come to us when we become givers, exuberant givers, that are connected with detaching us from that sense of security that money brings. Giving of our money honors God in many ways. Giving helps us to detach from the security that money brings. But there's one more thing. It helps us to put our full trust in God. But the blessings that come from our giving need to be acknowledged by preachers and teachers, and they need to be acknowledged by each one of you. According to Haggai's message, if the people would place God at the center, he's saying, of their lives, they would realize the future blessings that God had in store for them. And he talks about that in the book, so I want you to read them when you go home. He talks about a bright future, and in many ways, that bright future is tied to their giving. Because by doing that, they're saying we're putting our full trust in God, and we're giving generously to honor God. So you're putting God at the center of your life. You know, this whole concept of giving in this way is also exposed, talked about in Malachi 3, 10 to 12. Let me read it to you. I'm sure you know it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, the Lord says to those people in Malachi's days. Test me in this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's God saying it. He's not lying, and he's not exaggerating, and that's his promise, that if we give, we will receive so much more than what we can't even think or imagine. And then he goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. In every way, there's this fullness of life in the fruit that they're harvesting in their lives that is attached to the giving. Then all the nations will call you blessed, the Lord says, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Have you ever seen someone who is so blessed that you think, wow, that person is really blessed. I see them, you know, everything they get, when they are in need, they get some gift or unexpected check or somewhere, somehow, they're always being blessed. Maybe it's tied to the amount of their giving or to the way that they give sacrificially. Maybe it's because this promise is happening in their lives. When God says, test me in this and see if I will know, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Maybe it's tied to that. Something to think about. The same concept is brought up in the New Testament. For those people who say that, oh, that's an Old Testament concept. No. Listen to Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Does that sound like an exuberant blessing from God? Let me read it to you again. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is what will be poured onto your lap. And then it says this, in case we're wondering about how these blessings are connected, or lack of blessings, or why does it seem that some people are blessed more than others in this area. The verse ends with this: for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You're stingy with God. It sounds like God is going to be stingy with you. You're generous with God. It sounds like you have no idea, no idea where God will get the blessings, the money, to bless you in ways that you don't even expect. I was talking to someone you will hear from in a minute, and she was telling me that out of the blue, her financial advisor told her, well, you're going to be getting this extra money. And she was like, what? This person is a very generous person in this congregation. I know. And she couldn't understand, and I don't think she still does. Her financial advisor said, well, that's what you will be getting. Out of the blue. And now she has more than enough. Before she was like, just getting by, but now she's going to have more than enough. The financial advisor understands it. She doesn't. I wouldn't either. I'm not good with the numbers. But somehow the numbers, you know, were combined in such a way that she's going to be getting this money that she, every month, that she was not expecting. I asked her to share her testimony, and she will do that in a minute. So, as we close, let me close with the challenge to test God. It's not for the church alone, but it's for the center that God wants to take, the place of honor and privilege that God wants to take in our lives. It's the statement that we're making by saying, yes, I do want to give sacrificially. And giving sacrificially could mean for one person to give 100 and for the other one 1,000 or 5,000. You see, what God sees is how much you give in proportion to what you have. Are we giving God crumbs, or are we giving him sacrificially what he calls us to give? And I ask for your forgiveness, because I have failed to talk about this out of fear of being misunderstood or out of fear of making you feel guilty. That's, talk to God about that. I want to be faithful about preaching about this, and I will do it more often whenever God calls me to, because by not preaching about this, I was robbing you of the blessings that are connected with sacrificial giving. And I don't want to do that, because I do practice sacrificial giving, and I can tell you, I have seen God's blessings be poured over my life in ways that I can't explain. Just like this person you'll hear from cannot explain. What? That's not what I've been getting all these years. Well, God did something with the numbers. And voila, the blessings begin to pour out. I know that there are people in this church who have experienced those blessings. I know that I've heard the same kind of testimony from Darla. I don't understand, but all of a sudden I got this increase, or I got this check, or I got this money, and I don't understand it. She trusts God, and many of us do. But let's continue to be faithful in giving. And let's talk to God about that question. How much are we giving in proportion to what we have? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving me the clarity and the courage to preach about something that is not one of my favorite subjects. It's done, so now it's up to you. You work in the hearts of your people to help them to understand this issue that has to do with administration of the money that you give to us. Father, I pray that you will help us to see that you're looking to bless us, not to take our money away, but to increase it. Help us to see that you notice what we give in proportion to what we have, and help us to see that no small giving is judged by its amount, but instead it's judged by the heart, the willingness, the joy that we give with. Open the heavens, O God, and bless us individually, financially bless us individually, and bless us as a church. Father, thank you for showing us that we are doing so well in so many areas. We are being the church that you called the church to be. But in this area, Lord, we may need to up our giving for you, for our Christian walk and our Christian health, and Father, so that you can continue to bless us and give us so much more than we can even think or imagine. Give us courage, give us clarity, give us peace, and give us joy in the midst of our giving, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.